Father, we come before you when we need you. And we thank you that, God, you have not left us alone, but that you have given us your word so that we would know exactly what it is that you want to say to us. And so, Lord, as I open up your word, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. This I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I would like to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to begin reading in verses 25. Begin reading verse 25 and then all the way up to verse 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Perhaps Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, is one of the most beloved passages in the New Testament. And I am certain that many of us may have memorized it and put it to heart. Many of us may have found much comfort and encouragement in times when we felt restless, because this passage is teaching us about finding rest for our souls in Christ. I can guess that some of you may be feeling physically restless this morning, perhaps from waking up early to attend church, and especially the youth who came to church last night and early this morning to prepare for the cookie fundraiser. Others of you may be feeling restless for many reasons that I may not know of. And as it was mentioned during the announcement, we are in need of God's help during this time of transition. This is the first Sunday where Brad and Rhoda aren't here. And I can safely assume that some of you may be feeling restless because you don't know what the future of Oak Ridge Baptist Church will hold without a senior pastor. Some of you may be feeling hopeless, grief, bitter, confused, or anxious, and I can sympathize with you. And I don't expect the next few months to be easy, and we can only trust that, you know, the Lord will have his way, do whatever he wants to in our lives. Who knows how things will change? However, I can confidently say that our triune God and the Word of God will never change. If this church changes, God never changes. The Word of God will never change. His Word will be preached Sunday after Sunday. Our God will never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus promised us that he will build his church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And I trust that the Lord, this morning, the Lord Jesus will have his way on you as I do my best to explain his teachings. You see, Jesus has been doing his earthly ministry in the area of Galilee. And in chapter 10, we learn that Jesus gave an extensive instruction to his 12 apostles for their missions trip. And beginning in chapter 11, verse 1, Jesus went to the apostles' cities that surround the city of Galilee. And they are the cities that Jesus gave a strong indictment in chapter 11, verses 20 to 24, because those people living in those cities, such as the religious leaders, they have failed to repent and believe in the gospel despite the fact that Jesus did many miracles before them. And instead of repenting and believing, They rejected the ministry of John the Baptist and of Jesus. And they were also accusing Jesus for being a glutton and a drunkard. And they were accusing John the Baptist for having a demonic influence. And so we come to our immediate context where Jesus prays to the Father in verses 25 to 26. And it's perhaps a shocking prayer where Jesus gives gratitude to his Father because Jesus thanks his Father for hiding these things from the wise and the understanding. The religious leaders in the cities of Galilee thought they were wise and that they thought they had understanding. They thought they were the intellectuals of the day. But the Father has hidden the truth of the Messiah and the gospel from them. And instead, the Father sovereignly chose to reveal this truth to followers of Christ who are identified as little children. And isn't that a fascinating irony? And so we come to our text this morning in verse 27, where Jesus' words seem to have shifted from prayer to the Father to the general audience. Jesus says in verse 27 that all things have been handed over to me by my Father. Now, doesn't that sound familiar at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus said to his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now this text is speaking about the Trinitarian relationship that God the Father has with God the Son. Jesus recognizes the authority of the Father, but the Father lovingly gives all things to his Son. Now the phrase all things would include things like, you know, Jesus having the authority over all the created orders. And Jesus would have the authority to judge people at the end of the age. And the Father has delegated those tasks to his Son. But I think the context would also tell us that the phrase all things would include things like that Jesus will have the divine sovereignty to choose to reveal the Father to whomever he wills. That's what the text says. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. The Father has hidden things from the wise and the understanding, and he has revealed them to little children. And now the Father has given that authority to the Son. And don't miss this important Trinitarian concept. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son. And if you ever have time to study theology and study this more deeply, then just you should know that only God can reveal God because of the perfect intimacy between the Father and the Son. Jesus lived his life to reveal the Father to us because Jesus and the Father are one. And it is so important to understand the Trinity and divine sovereignty because I think they will enrich our understanding of the next passage, which tells us the sweetest and the tender invitation of our Savior. Since Jesus chooses to reveal the Father to whomever he wills, Jesus invites us to come to him. He says in verse 28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In the Old Testament, specifically in the book of Isaiah, the expression of invitation is commonly attributed to the Lord God. You see, in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 to 3, God says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love of Dave, for David. And then in verses 6 to 7, Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. This, in the book of Isaiah, this is God's invitation to everyone to come into a covenant relationship with him. This invitation is free of charge because of God's salvation. And by coming to God, God's people are placing their faith in him because he alone is the one who can satisfy all of our needs, our deep needs, our thirst, our hunger, and our longings. Satisfaction is something that everyone desires and seeks after. But many people find satisfaction either in the wrong place or in the wrong person. And we come back to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew, who is the author of the gospel, will be familiar with the book of Isaiah because he is writing this gospel specifically to the Jewish audience. And I think Matthew wants to help the Jews and the readers like us to understand something profound about the person of Jesus by connecting the words of God in Isaiah to Jesus' words here. Jesus could have said, come to God, and then quote Isaiah. And that would have been perfectly valid and theologically accurate. However, Jesus clearly invites everyone to come to me, to come to Jesus. Why is that? Jesus here is claiming to be God whom Isaiah wrote about. He is the God who is inviting us to come to him. He is inviting all who labor and are heavy laden to come to him and they will find rest. And specifically, the rest that Jesus is talking about is rest for our souls, as he says in verse 29. The invitation is to come to Jesus. And the incentive here is to find rest for our souls. Jesus gives rest to all who labor and are heavy laden. And this is talking about the crowd being weighed down by the rules and the laws of the Pharisees. They are people who are actively working and laboring to achieve salvation by works of the law. They are people who are passively bearing this heavy burden on themselves until they are being pressed down and crushed by this load. And there is nothing worse than having our souls weighed down by the heavy burdens of legalism, by works of the laws. If you take a look at Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 to 4, Jesus gave a very strong accusation, indictment, condemnation against the religious leaders. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders. But they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. The religious leaders weren't laying physical burdens on people, but they were laying spiritual burdens by telling them to obey the laws and their Jewish tradition. And such obligations became too oppressive and too burdensome for people to bear. And the religious leaders weren't even willing to move them with their fingers. And just as Pharaoh and the Egyptians laid physical burdens on the Israelites by slavery, so the Pharisees lay spiritual burdens by their teachings and their laws, which the Apostle Paul describes as the yoke of slavery in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And if or when you read Matthew chapter 12, which is the next chapter, you will see how the religious leaders and their laws became so burdensome as they opposed Jesus' ministry. Jesus' disciples were gathering food on the Sabbath, and Jesus healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees accused Jesus of violating the Sabbath when those people were in desperate need. And then they were suggesting that Jesus was in alliance with Satan himself. And of course, we know that their accusation was not true, because Jesus is a compassionate God who is compassionate for those who are in need. The unfortunate reality is that the Pharisees and their laws cannot give soul rest, their souls rest that only Jesus can give. Well, St. Augustine, or St. Augustine, famously said this in his book, Confessions, and he said this to God, and I quote, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you," end quote. And if you're not a Christian here this morning, and if you're experiencing a restless soul, and if you're striving to attain salvation in heaven by works of the law, that's going to burden you. That's going to oppress you. And if you're going through those things, Jesus invites you to come to him and to find rest for your souls, because that is where you can truly find forgiveness of sins and eternal life and true rest through the person and work of Jesus. And he may be saying to you this morning, don't come to the Pharisees. Don't come to the Pope. Don't come to your own self. Don't come to Muhammad. Don't come to the false gods of this world. Don't come to Donald Trump. Don't come to Justin Trudeau. Don't come to me. But Jesus says, come to me, come to Jesus, and you will find rest for your souls. Because only Jesus can save. Only Jesus can give you that rest. Jesus' tender invitation is not only for us to come to him and that's it. You see, that's sometimes how it is portrayed in, you know, some evangelistic outreach events. Now, just to let you know, I'm not against evangelistic outreach. I think we should do more of that. But it needs to be done biblically. You see, you can't just tell people to come forward to the front or come to the altar and pray a sinner's prayer, sign a card, and move on with life. That's not how Jesus did it. Jesus does invite us to come to him. But in verses 29 to 30, he elaborates on how we can find rest for our souls. Jesus says in verses 29 to 30, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus tells us to take my yoke upon you. You see, back then, a yoke is the wooden frame joining two animals, usually oxen, for pulling heavy loads. And this was in the agricultural context. However, this yoke then became a cultural concept in Jewish thinking, whereby a pupil would submit himself to the teaching of the rabbi, thus taking upon himself the yoke of the teacher. And this yoke is talking about Jesus' teaching, because Jesus tells us, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." And maybe some of you are saying, "Wait a minute, Jesus. You just said that you're going to give us rest for our souls. I thought I'm going to be freed and liberated from burden and labor. And if I'm supposed to receive rest and be freed and be liberated, then why are you telling me to put on your yoke and carry your burden? Does this yoke actually give me rest for my soul?" Well, let's find out. You see, Jesus is not only inviting us to come, but he's also inviting us to a life of discipleship. Discipleship means the state of being a follower, a disciple, a learner, and a student of Jesus Christ. It means learning from Him, obeying Him, and growing in your understanding of Him. This is the paradoxical reality of the Christian life. And that is, you have to take Christ's yoke upon yourself in order to find rest for your souls. Jesus is telling us that taking His yoke and learning from Him leads to finding rest. Now, why is He telling us all that? Jesus explains the reason. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Why? "For I am gentle and lowly in heart." That's one of the reasons. And second, "And you will find rest for your souls, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is not like the Pharisees who were hypocrites, the proud, oppressive. Jesus is gentle, lowly in heart, meaning that He's meek and humble. Now, Jesus didn't say that just to show off how humble He was. No, he's saying that because that's the core and the center of His being, which was totally contrary to the Greek culture that valued high status and power. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, and he wrote about an incredible description of Jesus' humanity. Paul says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." What I want you to notice from Philippians is that the truth of God the Son became man. Of course, that doesn't mean, you know, Jesus stopped being God. This man, this Jesus, this God-man took upon Himself the role or the form of a servant. Jesus did not come to be served, but He came to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Jesus is gentle and lowly in heart, and that is a description of a servant. He's not here to oppress us, and He's not here to give us heavy burden to carry. He's here to serve us. Think about this. Jesus has been given all things from His Father. Jesus has all the authority over all the created order, over everything, including to reveal the Father to whomever He wills. Yet with this authority, Jesus chose the status of a servant and to serve those whomever would come to Him and take His yoke. And that is why His yoke is easy and His burden is light, because Jesus is there to help us and He's there to guide us. And therefore, we can find rest for our souls. And I want to address an issue that many of us may struggle with. Now, let's be deeply honest with ourselves. Do I trust Jesus' words here? Is Jesus' words trustworthy? Some of us, you know, may believe it intellectually. Yeah, of course He's going to give us rest. Yeah, all those things. But yet maybe some of us functionally may not believe that Jesus' words is trustworthy, because we often think, or maybe perhaps experience, that the life of discipleship is a tedious and laborious and heavily burdensome task. We're not the means by which we receive rest for our souls, as Jesus promised. Why is it that some of us may think that way or feel that way? Why do we think that discipleship and learning from Jesus is something that makes us feel restless when Jesus promised us the opposite? And I think the Apostle John may have the answer to those questions. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, John says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And notice this next phrase, and his commandments are not what? Burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Now, perhaps the reason, one of the many reasons we think that discipleship and learning from Jesus makes us feel restless is maybe we've forgotten God's love for us. Or maybe we don't have enough understanding of God's love for us. What is God's love? Well, John talks about it in the previous chapter. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Everyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You need to understand that we were totally depraved in our sins. And there's nothing in us that would merit God's love and favor. But God is richly merciful and gracious. And God's love is demonstrated and shown to us by sending his Son to die for our sins while we were his enemies. He sent his Son to serve us. He sent his Son to rescue us. That is the essence of the gospel. He died for us and he rose again. And if you have been a Christian for a long time and you are feeling burdensome, then I would encourage you to come back to the truth of God's love for you through Jesus. Because it is the God's love that ought to motivate us to give us the desire to love and to please him by obeying his commandments. As John said, he made a very bold statement, his commandments are not burdensome. If we deeply love God and we have experienced his deep love, then the commandment to obey and the call to learn from Jesus should give us joy and delight, not heavy burden that is unbearable and not painful drudgery. And I can testify to this reality that I find rest when I put Jesus' yoke on myself. And if you still feel that God's love doesn't motivate you, then I wonder if you truly know God. Remember, Jesus has the authority to choose to reveal the Father to you. And I wonder if Christ has chosen to reveal the revelation or the heart of the Father, his love for you this morning. I wonder if some of you may think you're too smart or too wise to take Jesus' words seriously, or maybe you can just try to do it yourself without Jesus. Well, the truth is here, if you have that attitude, perhaps Jesus is not going to reveal that truth to you. Instead, you know, instead of being wise and having understanding, Father, Jesus encourages us that we need to be like little children with Christ-like faith to trust Jesus' words, because that's the truth that those are the people whom Jesus will reveal the truth to. He reveals them to little children. Jesus' call to discipleship is his invitation for us to rest. And if you have stopped learning from Jesus, then you have stopped being a disciple and a follower of Jesus. And if you stop being a disciple and a follower of Jesus, then you may have forfeited the incentive to receive rest for your soul. Anthony Bourdain was an American celebrity, chef, author, travel documentarian, and television personality. He had money, he had power, and fame beyond our wildest dreams. And our culture is telling us that having money, having power, having fame will bring us happiness and fulfillment and rest in life. But on June of 2018, Anthony Bourdain committed suicide at the age of 61. And I read an article that really opened my eyes to the meaningless and the purposeless life that money, power, and fame could bring to a person. You see, one family member told the New York Times, and I quote, "He had everything, success beyond his wildest dreams, money beyond his wildest dreams," end quote. You know, even other places, you know, Anthony Bourdain, he acknowledged that whatever he had was not enough. On an episode of Parts Unknown in Argentina, he said this, and I quote, "Well, things have been happening. I find myself in an airport, for instance, and I'll order an airport hamburger. It's an insignificant thing. It is a small thing. It's a hamburger, but it's not a good one. Suddenly, I look at the hamburger and I find myself in a spiral of depression that can last for days. It's like that with the good stuff too," end quote. Did you catch the last phrase he said? "It's like that with the good stuff too." All the money, all the power, all the fame, all the luxury that he had. And the truth is, our souls need so much more than food, money, luxury, and grand experiences. Money, power, self-indulgence, sex cannot give you the true rest that only Christ can offer to you, which is way better than physical comfort, physical pleasure, and physical rest that you can get in this world. Is your soul feeling restless this morning? Is your soul longing for comfort and hope? Is the burden of life becoming too heavy and unbearable? Are you experiencing pain and want to find something to dull that pain? Are you burdened with the weight of guilt and sin in your life? Now, it is probably simple and easy to find those, you know, find comfort and rest other than Jesus himself. You see, people go to alcohol, pornography, video games, gluttony, YouTube. Not saying, you know, YouTube's bad, but and things that Anthony Bourdain had, and countless other things. You could try finding rest or comfort. You can try watching all those videos and dull your pain. But in the end, apart from Christ, they give you fleeting pleasures, leaving you feeling empty and exhausting your soul. Or you can believe in the promise and person of Jesus. You can come to him and take his yoke upon yourself and learn from him, and you will indeed find rest for your souls. You can confess to him that you need him. And if you are feeling weary and heavy-hearted, if you are grieving over joys departed, then tell it to Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. He offers you peace, hope, comfort, forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and yes, rest. Rest right now, and rest for all of eternity when we meet Christ face to face, because that is what God created us for in the beginning, to rest. And so I end with this question. Will you come to Jesus and accept his tender invitation? Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, please embrace us with your rest. You called us to draw near to you, and you will draw near to us. And I humbly ask that every day that we will come to you, that we will learn this lesson of taking your yoke upon us upon ourselves, and indeed learn from you and the promises that we will find rest for our souls. Lord, help us to believe and help us to love you. Help us to experience your love this morning. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us all stand and sing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
May you embrace the Lord Jesus this morning. May you take comfort and hope in His love. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord, may the Lord lift His countenance, His face upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Just a reminder, off to the side room, refreshments, and fellowship time. So please join us and support the youth as they're doing a fun cookie fundraiser.